All right, if you take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 1, when you find your place there, if you're able to stand with me this morning for the reading of God's Word, if you would stand. We're going to read starting in verse 35 and going through 42. Verse 35 starts with, "Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we very thankful for every opportunity we have to be in your house, for every opportunity we have for the preaching and teaching of your word. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would use me as your mouthpiece, that you would put the very words I need in my mouth to preach this morning, that you'd give me boldness to proclaim your word. And I pray, Father, that you would give us hearing ears to hear and the desire to apply these truths to our lives, and that we would share with others the things that we learn, that others too could come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish here today. As we look into your word now, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord loves fishermen. The Lord loves fishermen. He saw them in a trade that he liked, and a trade that he could use. And at least four of the 12 of his disciples were commercial fishermen. That means one third of his disciples were commercial fishermen. First, we have Peter and Andrew. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, verses 18 and 19. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then we have James and John, also fishermen. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 says, "And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him." These four men knew a great deal about fishing. But I found something about fishermen that they know more than just about fishing. These men became fishers of men. See, Jesus makes it very clear that he wants every single one of his children to be fishers of men. But the Bible makes it clear here that he wanted Andrew to go find his brother. So Andrew goes finds his brother, right? Andrew gets this encounter with the Messiah and he says, I got to go find my brother. He wanted to tell Peter what he had found. He says, and isn't that the way God intended for the church to grow? Yeah. Is we're supposed to learn, and then we're supposed to go out and share with others that they too will want to come, that they too will want to be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the church grows, then more people go out, more people come in, and more people go out, more people come in. And that's how God intended to grow His churches. Soul winning should be a top priority for God's children. I often have said that I'm thankful for the man who led me to the Lord. Very thankful. I'll never forget his name. He's long gone on to be with the Lord. He was an older man back then, and long time with the Lord now. I got to see him several times over the years. The last time I saw him, he was passing through, and he stopped and stayed at my parents' house for several hours, and I went over and spent some time with him. And it was nice to see him again after so many years being gone from the area. And I'll never forget what he did for me. I knew I needed to get saved. I just needed somebody to walk me through it. I like the fact that two dedicated fishermen can meet, and the one will say to the other, "Catch any fish today?" But I think it would be much better if two of God's children met and said, "Seen anyone saved today?" How about, have you won anyone to the Lord lately? Soul winning should be a top priority for God's children. It should be. He wants us to be involved in it. That's what He's called us to do. We need to be involved daily. The sad part is it's not very much of a top priority anymore in many churches. The New Testament church turned the world upside down. I'd like to say right side up. But turned them upside down because they spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So why are souls not being saved? We gather together on Sunday morning, right? Some churches Wednesday night, some Thursday night. This last week we had the blessing of being able to be here Sunday through Thursday every day. But we spend Sunday and Thursday every week in church, some Sunday and Wednesday. Some have gotten away from the Wednesday altogether. Some have even gotten away from the Sunday night. We come to church, but being in church is not the test. The test is what we do when we're dispersed out into the world. See, it's easy to talk about the Lord when you're here. But when we leave these doors and we go out into the world, that's the real test. The Bible method for church growth is what Andrew did. Went and found his brother first. Said, "Look, look whom we have found." And he led him to the Lord. People say, "Yeah, but you can't lead your family to the Lord. They won't listen to you." I admit, sometimes it's tougher. But I believe you can. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. We need to be active in soul winning. We need to be active in leading people to Christ. And I can tell you, you can pass out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tracts and maybe not see anyone saved while you're with them. We have no idea what all those tracks will do. We have cases and cases and cases of John and Romans we could be passing out and getting into the hands of people that are marked editions, so they walk you through the plan of salvation. They actually tell you which page to turn to next and the verses to read. And it's amazing. We have no idea what's going to happen with those. I remember years ago I was teaching 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys and girls on Wednesday nights. We had this kid and this young boy. And I thought, Lord, I'm not sure we're getting through to him. And one day, God softened his heart. This boy got glorious saved. Scripture memorization became a priority to him. And he would come in and he would recite like 5-6 scriptures in a row. One day he came back and he recited like 5 or 6 lessons. I can't remember exactly how many, but 5 or 6 lessons of memory verses in one sitting with me. And I said, I didn't even know that you were paying attention. He said, I was paying attention. And God got a hold of me. I said, you should have told me. Here I'm learning about it because you're all of a sudden excited. But I didn't know. He said, it's when you're preaching the devotionals that I got saved. So praise the Lord. We don't know when. I wish everybody would tell you, right? I wish they'd call in and say, hey, I got saved because somebody left a tract on my door, or somebody left the John and Romans, or somebody came by and talked to me and I wasn't ready then, but weeks later I was. And I wish they'd do that. It doesn't happen all the time. I think we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven how many people are going to be there. I also think we'll be surprised at who won't be there. We should all be winning souls to the Lord. But mankind has always thought we're smarter than God. We think we have a better way of doing it, right? I've had several people over the years tell me, door knocking is old-fashioned and it doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work if you don't do it. God's still in the saving business. Many have come up with a different system for church growth. You know what man's system for church growth is? I'll tell you, it's pretty clear. You go into other churches and entice them to come get involved in the church you're in. That's not soul winning. That's taking a fish out of one bowl and putting it in another. And it's happened. I remember when I first came to this church back in 2009, Brother Anker told me about a guy who came into the area. And he attended, and then he tried to get people to go and be a part of a church he was going to plant. It's not how it works. Not how it's supposed to work. Now, I'm not opposed to God moving people from one church to another if that's God working. But let's not go over and entice people. And a lot of these churches entice them with, well, we got this program and that program. Where's God in all that? God said we're to be fishers of men, not stealing from one to increase another. God's way is as Andrew did it. Went and found his brother. Said, wow, I am so excited about the Messiah that we just found. you got to come and see him for yourself. He's so excited, he wants others to get excited like he is. He gets saved. He seeks out his brother. We found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. Wow. He's so excited. Which, isn't that the way it is? You get saved and you're so excited. Then the years pass. We become complacent. I like to say we become pew warmers. We're on our way to heaven. It doesn't matter what happens to everybody else. 1st place Andrew went was to his brother. He wanted to make sure his brother got saved. He wanted him to have the same joy he had. They were following the Lord to become fishers of men, but following the Lord to become a fisher of men requires two things. First, a seeker. Notice he says in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon. The words, he first findeth, this was a top priority for Andrew. The first thing he does, may God ever keep the fire for lost souls burning in our hearts. We cannot let the devil rob us of our desire to see people saved. One of the hardest things in the world to have to do is to have good news and no one to share it with. We have the best news that mankind has ever had. And we need to seek out people to share it with them. It involves being a seeker, but it also involves being a speaker. Look at verse 41 of our text, where it says, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. He was a wonderful Christian, and once he came to know the Lord, he immediately wanted to share this with his brother. When we love someone and we know they're facing danger, we want to help them, save them from the danger. So we need to immediately warn them of the impending danger. There's coming a day, as I mentioned Thursday night, there's a payday one day. There's a payday coming. I've said many times, I'm listening for that trumpet sound. Doesn't mean I'm so focused on the trumpet sound I'm neglecting what God's called us to do here, but I'm still listening for that trumpet to sound. I believe, still, and I've said this for many years, I believe it could happen in my lifetime. I told the guy that wanted to sell me prepaid funeral arrangements that I wasn't looking for the undertaker, I was looking for the uppertaker. And he said, that's cute. So you can think it's cute all you want. I believe it could happen in my lifetime. It could be today. People say, no, it's not going to happen today. Do you know that for sure? It could happen at any time. We want people to get saved when we have a love for people. We often forget the last words that the Lord Jesus Christ said before he ascended. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Ye shall be, right? We need to be witnesses. Witnesses, not pew warmers. Witnesses, not scared. I've had people say, "I just don't know what to say." What did God do in your life? What is God doing in your life? Just tell people what's going on. What God is doing. And then to the uttermost part of the earth, not only witnesses in church, but witnesses when we disperse and leave this place. To be like Christ, to live like Christ, we need to do what Christ did, and Christ was a soul winner. To be a soul winner and not share the gospel of Jesus Christ would be like having the cure for cancer and not willing to share it with anyone. It would be like being a firefighter and seeing somebody on fire and not willing to help put it out. Seeing somebody drowning and not be willing to throw them a lifeline. The Word of God tells us in Psalm 107:2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." We need to be willing to speak up. Look at Romans 1:16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Some people won't speak up because they're ashamed. We're not to be ashamed of the gospel. The greatest treasure in hell is a soul. Let me just say this. Souls are the commodity of the universe. God wants souls, but so does Satan. Eternal lives are what God is fighting for. The only way that Satan can hurt God is by stealing a soul. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 10. John 10 verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Every time a soul enters eternity, either Satan or God rejoices. If it's someone who's saved and they're in heaven, God and the angels in heaven rejoice. If that soul is not saved, Satan and his demons rejoice. Redeeming a soul from Satan's grasp is the only way to hurt Satan. And the angels rejoice when a sinner is saved. Yeah. The demons get angry every time someone comes to know Christ as Savior. And demonic powers will use anything in their arsenal to keep people from getting saved. Had people say, "Maybe tomorrow." Do you know you have tomorrow? I don't know we have tomorrow. There's people that woke up this morning that will not have a tomorrow. We don't know who they are. I was just talking to my brother last night, and he said he's been renting from a lady, helping her out. She was sick, but not to the point where he thought she'd be passing anytime soon. She didn't make it the other day. The house will be sold. He'll have to find another place to live. He'll find a place. It's not a big deal. But he said, I had no idea she'd go this quick. Said I was trying to be a help to her. Now she's gone. See, we don't get to choose when or how. Satan's greatest attacks are against those who are out witnessing. His greatest attacks, because he wants to prevent people from getting saved. And he hates soul winners. The greatest treasure on earth is the soul. People are going to spend eternity in one of two places. The choice is theirs. But God gave us a job to do, and that is to warn them. The hustle and bustle of life, it's easy to get distracted. We place a great value on houses and money and cars. But when the Father in heaven looks down, he says, none of those are important. If you were to put all the wealth of the entire world on a scale, one soul on the other side of that scale would far outweigh all of the wealth in the entire world. The greatest gift you can give God is your soul. Look at Matthew 16:26. Matthew 16:26 says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the best news that anyone can ever hear. Doesn't matter if they're man, woman, child, it's the best news anyone could ever hear. But some people don't know the difference between good news and bad news. Here Andrew's sharing was personal. Personal. He recognized that he had nothing but good news, and he could hardly wait to tell Peter that he had found the Messiah. The one the prophets told us was coming, the one long expected by our fathers. The one that John the Baptist was preaching about. We have found the Messiah. He was so excited, he wanted others to find the Messiah also. Then his sharing was polite. Andrew didn't say, I. Notice he said, we have found the Messiah. Hard for some people to use the word we because they're so wrapped up in me, 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 me. But we have found the Messiah. It's amazing what the Lord can do when we are not concerned with who gets the credit. Some people will never win anyone to the Lord because it's not about the Lord, it's about them. Hard to be pointing people to the Messiah when all we do is talk about us. the secret of fishing for men is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself, right? He said, unto me, in the verse, but he's talking about himself. He will draw them to him, not draw them to us. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people everywhere just waiting for someone to tell them about Jesus. Then number three, his sharing was prosperous. He shared with Peter and Peter got saved. People say, well, what if they don't get saved? What if they don't? God didn't tell us to go out and save people. He said to go out and warn them, point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't save yourself. I can't save myself. We needed the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. What makes us think we can go save anybody else? All we can do is warn them. There's a danger that's impending out there, and we need to warn them. The fields are ripe unto harvest, but the laborers are few. We'd be surprised the people we could reach if we're just willing to tell them. The Bible teaches that we have not because we ask not. I've said every time we go out, we go to witness with people, we pray about it. We ask God to soften the hearts of those we talk to. We ask God to bring the increase because we can't. Look at our text, John chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. It says, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. When a fisherman catches a big fish, they usually take it to a taxidermist and have it mounted. And they go, look at this. They want others to see what they've caught. I wonder what we will have to show the Lord. As fishers of men, we need to ask ourselves, am I a fan of the Lord or am I a follower? See, there's a lot of fans. They go to these games and all, and they sit in the bleachers, and they scream, and they yell, and they jump up and down and all, and everything's going well, and then they criticize because they could do things better. That's a fan. Followers follow the leader. Our leader is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Luke chapter 15 gives us three great parables. They all teach the unending love of God for all sinners. You've got the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost boy. They all teach the unending love of God for sinners, for all sinners, not just some. We have this idea that we can pick and choose who we share with. Well, this one's worthy and that one's not. Who gave us the right to determine who's worthy and who's not? Jesus said, go into all the world and share the gospel with every creature. Not just the ones we're comfortable with, but everyone. You say, well, some of those people out there are intimidating. You know, they're a soul that's going to spend an eternity in one of two places just like we are. We either love people or we don't. We're either concerned about where they're going to spend eternity or we're not. I thank God that He's willing to save sinners, no matter whom they are or where we find them. Great joy in heaven over one sinner that gets saved. Yeah. More joy in heaven over one that gets saved than over 99 that do not. In all three cases, when that which was lost was found, there was great joy. The Bible tells us all heaven rejoices when someone gets saved. The things we shout about are good and important to us. But God never says we're supposed to shout about some of these things. I believe in divine healing, but I don't read where the Bible says that we're supposed to shout over divine healing. I believe, and I love to preach a good sermon. But the Bible doesn't say that heaven rejoices over a good sermon being preached. What it says is that they rejoice over one sinner getting saved. Salvation of a sinner. That's what heaven rejoices over. We might not be able to do a lot of things, but if we want to cause heaven to rejoice, we need to lead people to the Lord. People go to their pastor and say, "Pastor, I want you to go see my brother or my sister or my son or my friend. God's laid him on my heart." Let me say this. If God laid him on your heart, there's a reason for that. Now, I don't have a problem going and talking to people, but you're going to have a better opportunity to reach them than someone they've never even met. Now, don't get me wrong. We come in contact with people we've never met before and we can share with them and they can get saved. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you already have a relationship with those people. They might listen to you before they listen to somebody they've never ever seen before. We need to go out and tell our friends and family, co-workers, people we come in contact with, about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to challenge us this week to be fishers of men. Go out and share the gospel with people. It's going to require two things. You've got to seek after them. And then you have to be a speaker. You can't keep the good news to yourself. You've got to share it. You've got to speak up and let people know the good news of Jesus Christ and what He's done, not just for us, but for all of mankind. I've been telling Brother O'Brien that I've been praying for Putin to get saved. Can you imagine if he got saved? The difference that would make in the lives of the Ukrainians? Just had a video sent again. This one was of some troops that were out. And the drones came in. When they landed, they didn't explode. Brother O'Brien put in, "God said not today." God protected those men that were there. God said, "Not today." Brother O'Brien's there in the Ukraine because God moved him there. Today's 26 years in the Ukraine. 26 years. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord, we get to have a part in that. But he said that's why being a chaplain to the military is so important, because those young men need to know the Lord. Because what if that drone had exploded? They'd have stepped out into eternity. We all have our place that God's put us in that we need to reach with the gospel. We're not going to do it if we keep it to ourselves. Let's be fishers of men. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for your word. Thankful that you used fishermen, commercial fishermen, to become fishers of men. Thank you for the account of Andrew coming to know the Messiah and then immediately going to find his brother. That's what it's about. Sharing what we know, sharing what we've learned with others. So I pray, Father, that we would be fishers of men. So as always, Father, if there's someone in our midst who's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. I pray that you would work in the hearts and the lives of people. Their hearts would be softened to the truths of your word. That they'd realize they're lost and undone and in need of a Savior. For those of us who are saved, Father, I pray that we are using our very breath to be able to go out and share what you're doing in our lives. Not just what you've already done, but what you're continuing to do in our lives. That others too would want to have what we have. So as we have a time of invitation, Father, we turn it over to you. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.